So we can see that there is other alternatives, that we are doing other interventions. Just to make a comment on the azithromycin and the antibiotic, in my practice, I use it 3 times a week. The protocol was done daily because they have a problem with logistics, and the only way they could do it affordable was given daily. And the doctor says, it has a significant change in the nasal flora of the patients. So they were inducing the development of resistance. So you're going to use in your practice, use it 3 times a week. If you want to know who helped more, I recommend you to go to the New England Journal electronic database and found table number 1 of that paper to show you who benefit from azithromycin. And they were not the patients who were already in LABA LAMAs or ICS, were the patients that were gold 2 that were not on other medications. So we need to further understand, it may do something, but there is not something we can use every day on all the patients. So, what about combination therapy? This hasn't changed. I want to remind you, the pivotal abnormality on COPD is airway obstruction. Everything starts here. Everything else that we see in COPD is the consequence of this. Your patient is short of breath, your patient cannot exercise, your patient is limited, even having exacerbations because airway obstruction. So this is a concept that has evolved over years. And how the evolution of this concept is how we're now addressing what will be the effect of bronchodilators itself. And this concept changed when we start seeing these publications. So you have here two the same class, two anticholinergics. Given day number 1, they both respond the same. But when it changed COPD, and when that change occurred in the early 2000s, is that when that patient who's in the long-acting bronchodilator, and you can change here, any LAMA is going to do the same. The patient comes back to your office a week later, a year later, they are breathing 15% of 150 mLs higher, and they still have a response. When we used to use short-acting bronchodilators, they are coming, they are already beginning to lose lung function. They do have a response, but this baseline has gone down. So that's how this concept changed. That COPD is not a fixed obstruction. There is some changes, some reversibility, and it's dependent on the long-acting bronchodilators. And when you give long-acting bronchodilators, the patients are having, they deflate, and you can, again, instead of tiotropium, use LABA LAMAs, LABA ICS, the data is identical. The deflation that you produce by pharmacotherapy cannot be achieved by surgery. Now we're putting these valves inside the lungs. These patients do not deflate the same way the pharmacotherapy does. And as a consequence of that, patients can exercise more and have better quality of life and having less exacerbations. So this is the principle that has changed in the last 10 years. Now we know now that the patients who have, this is a publication by Paul Jones, the patients who have more significant change in the lung function, this equals improvement in quality of life. And as you can, this is done with bronchodilators, this is done with ICS2, the reduction in exacerbations, improvement in quality of life. So these medications are impact the airway obstruction, do improve functionally, and improve patients' quality of life, and probably improving survival. So the big question is, if one works, what happens if we give 2 and 2 together? So as in principle, you have LABA monotherapy, LAMA monotherapy combined, you will expect an improvement in lung function, quality of life, decrease in exacerbations. It may not be synergistic, it may be additive, and by principle is the fact that our body is made perfect. Everything in our body is controlled by 2 different mechanisms, that they are independent one from the other. You know, I tell my residents and I tell my registrants who work with me, I say, listen, You want to see something perfect? Look yourself in the mirror. Whoever you believe made you, he or she makes you perfect. And one of those is airway. We have two different pathways to control and maintain the airway open. So we have the opportunity to intervene through two different ways. So we'll expect that we'll increase more the bronchodilation and we'll increase the magnitude that you can have that effect as you block those two pathways. And we learned that almost 20 years ago. This publication of the combination of ipratropium and salbutamol, in the US we call it albuterol, but it's salbutamol. You have here the ipratropium, the salbutamol, and both together. We have a 15% difference given both medications versus either one separate. So we knew as a short acting will work. Then we start seeing using the long actives. And there are two or three different publications that have shown, for example, if you combine tiotropium with formoterol once a day, or tiotropium with formoterol twice a day, you have more response than tiotropium or formoterol alone. This is over 24 hours, the trough, the exacerbations, all those are in, the exacerbations are decreased, the troughs are increased given both medications. So the medications are two different pathways. The medications very clearly seems to work. And that also translates into you have increased exercise tolerance, at the same time you have improvement in your lung function. And there is more significant decrease in hyperinflation. So what happened? All the pharmaceutical companies look at this 10 years ago. And I say, hello, we really need to, this is, but we need to treat this disease. We have seen yesterday and today that only 20% of the COPD patients have been treated. That COPD in the United States is now the third leading cause of death. In the world, it's going to be the third leading cause of death in 2020. There are millions of patients. The market can be huge for this. And that's why we're having new LAMAs being developed, new LABAs once a day being developed, and more interesting, the combination of all these products as a single inhaler. So why you want to give it two different is you can have the availability to, those are formulations can be very easy being combined, that you don't have any problems with precipitation. We have developed over the last 10 years delivering devices that are more effective. So the solution here is let's combine them. And it's been a race in the last 3 years of all these formulations and all these medications. And what do we know about them? For example, omeclidilium bilanterol, this is the first one that was approved in the United States, and the clinical studies show a consistent 15% above of the monocomponents, with no changes in safety. For example, you get the combination and glycopyridium in the catheter, in the single inhaler, you have here placebo, tiotropium, glycopyridium, in the catheter, the combination, you have a higher trough FEV1, and if you can appreciate here, the combination sits up here, everybody else sits down here. So you do have more significant improvement. Even a single inhaler, both medications, this is glycopyridium and indicatorol. And in their development, they have compared versus ICS LABA. And the improvement in lung function of glycopyridium indicatorol is much higher versus ICS LABA. And in this data is improvement in TDI. And you will have also formoterol acridilium that is being underdeveloped. So all these five formulations are in the process to be developed and are approved. So what do we want for those formulations? They will improve lung function, but you want to have some impact in other parameters. For example, dyspnea. This is tiotropium plus albuterol given separated. Tiotropions and mineral combined, patients have less dyspnea and less reliever medication. When you start looking at the relationship with exercise, it's also improved. And when you start looking at the fixed combinations, the indicatorol, glycopyrrolidone, there is more significant improvement in TDI, more significant improvement in St. George. So these patients are breathing more, higher, and they are feeling better. Studies have now shown this is TDI with omeclidelium and bilanterol. So everything points that there is an impact in patients' quality of life as well as lung function. Studies are now going on to looking at exacerbations. There is a SPARC study that was published recently in the Lancet Respiratory that showed that, that glycopyrrolidone in the catarol has also significant reduction in exacerbations, very similar to tiotropium. But you know, for him, when he goes up the stairs short of breath, I can tell him, you know, lung function is fine, you're going to be able to breathe better, everything looks much better. But he won't believe me until I have not been able to show him or her, now 50% of COPD now in the US are women, that they can live a full life. They don't have any limitations in their life. And that's going to be the challenge in these medications. One is going to be a challenge to demonstrate the regulatory officials that the changes on TDI, the changes in St. George, are meaningful enough that are impacting patients' quality of life, that they are changing how patients see these diseases, and they can breathe better, can they do more? So what I see is going to happen, and I would say this is going to be 2-3 years down the road. You have a newly diagnosed COPD patient, a symptomatic goal B. Currently, we say use LAMA or LAMA. If they don't improve, combine. My prognosis is why use a monocomponent? If you can have a single inhaler, then you can give both medications and achieve more. This is going to be the population that you really, really have to impact. These patients, the disease is moderate. They have symptoms that they don't know, and you need to do MRCs or CATs to identify those symptoms. But in order for them to continue using the medication, they need to see an effect. They need to feel that it's better. So I think here is going to be an area that this medication is going to have a potential. These medications we're going to be using in goal C, goal D, as they have in worsening in lung symptoms. Will be adjunctive therapy with two inhalers, LAMA and ICS, and there is now in the process to be developed the triple combination. The triple combination may take a little longer because it's hard to demonstrate the stability of the ICS. There is a compound who is a single compound, is a LAMA together that works at both receptors. So they are studying that compound, it's called MAB, M-A-B, LAMA together, and they are studying that compound adding an inhaled corticosteroid. That may be the answer to the triple therapy. What it's trying to do is we're trying to simplify what we give to our patients. And you know, this is not new. This has been done with diabetes, has been done with arterial hypertension. These formulations who work through different mechanisms. And all these have shown, as they are more effective in improving symptomatic the patients are more likely to continue using the medications and are more likely to increase compliance. So this table in the future may look like this. You are here, it's going to be alternative LAMA in case patients don't tolerate one, and adding here as a fix to the other alternatives. So in conclusion, so we're now recommending, and the guidelines recommend, to add other bronchodilator if the patient are not well controlled with either LAMA or LABA, as I show you, they're going to have further improvement. Several of these fixed medications are being developed. There are phase 2 studies on all these combinations that we're going to have to demonstrate. And the challenge is to demonstrate not only the benefit in lung function, going to demonstrate the more value to the patient, improving their quality of life. And we have to demonstrate to the regulatory agents that this is true, that we should now be moving, not only looking at lung function exacerbations. And you know, the regulatory agents, they listen. During the 2000s, they only was lung function, nothing else. With the GOLD initiative, with other initiatives, we work with the FDA, and we can tell the FDA, listen, exacerbations are bad. You have to give an indication for exacerbations. In 2005, 2007, we got exacerbations for lab ICS to reduce exacerbations, LAMAs to reduce exacerbations. In the year 2010, we got Rifumiblast to reduce exacerbations. So it's possible, as we develop better tools to assess the impact of these medications, the regulatory agents are going to listen, and we're going to have medications that are going to change or continue to change how patients live and how patients are able to function today and in the future. Thank you.